This week's episode was brought to you by 30 Second Reviews by Omega's Prime, also known as TJ Omega on YouTube. Rush reviews when you don't have time to hear the long story.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Welcome to WTF at TFW 2005. This is Vangelis, and with me today is Drew Iden.
What up?
Whoa.
And Buzz Beak.
Oh, sorry, I was just drinking this coffee. It's wicked hot.
Coffee? And Gog Dog.
It's delicious.
Hello, internets!
So, we are a podcast of people from a Transformers message board, and we like to talk about Transformers. So, that's what we're planning to do today. What do you guys think of that?
Oh, you mean this isn't the GoBots podcast?
Droll!
Yuck.
That just got us 15
I got a Leader 1 tattoo.
So we're going to start off with a news item based on the 25th anniversary of Transformers. There's some more pictures out of the upcoming reissue Optimus Prime in the big fancy box with all the fancy flaps and things. Drew Iden, what do you think of this item?
I'm probably going to buy three. How does that sound? Does that sound good?
That sounds pretty good. That sounds good for ratings.
Also sounds like I'm rich. I might pick it up. Yeah, I like it. I like the picks that were released. Well, not released. Found.
I don't know if I'm going to pick it up, only because I've been around for every reissue, so it's kind of like... I think it's exciting for other people more so than it's exciting for me. Buzzbeak, what about you?
I'm on the fence. I got two reissues and a vintage G2, and that's not counting like Pepsi Prime and Ultra Magnus I and all that business. So I don't know if I need it, but it's awesome that they're doing it again so people have the opportunity. That's where I stand.
Well, I can respect that. What about you, Gog Dog? You got opinions on the Generation 1-ity of this.
Would you consider it blasphemy if I told you the only G1 Prime I had was Pepsi Prime?
Oh, no. Oh my God. No. Get out of this podcast.
Not blasphemy, but really disappointing.
I thought, you know, man, we're going to lose a subscriber over that. I just know it.
one guy's like, "That's, you know what? I'm done."
This is where I draw the line. He's not a true Transformers fan. I'm out of here.
I gave you guys four, but not five. I'm done.
I'm going to go start a GoBot podcast.
This is the Leader 1 signal.
I'll pick it up. I like Prime. He's like iconic and all. I'm not a Prime fanboy, so I haven't really... I mean, I have several Primes. I don't have any G1 Primes for some reason. I did at one point try to collect all the Takara TFC G1 reissues, and I have probably 2/3 of them. But Prime is just so... I mean, I have a hard time spending $300 on a reissue figure.
He's up to $300 now?
I might have exaggerated a little bit. They're pushing over $200, aren't they?
I think.
I haven't looked.
I remember them going up to $150 the last time I checked, but that was years ago. So, I remember that one was going way up because it had the binder and it had the big box, and that made people want it more.
Right.
So, I can understand if it's up that high, but holy crap. Only because there's so many reissues of that toy now.
Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, the same thing with, like, G1 Starscream. I've tried to nab the DVD TFC reissue of that several times, and at the last minute, the bids shoot up into the 80s and 100+, and so I always end up just giving up until I have some spare money laying around.
Holy criminy is all I can say to that.
Yeah, but so, Gog Dog, you said that you're not really all that into Prime, like you think he's lame. I think I remember you said he was lame. But so are you more of a Hot Rodimus fan then? Is that your choice for leader?
Totally. Yeah, the flames totally do it for me.
The whole Winnebago style?
Yeah.
No.
Hot Rod, not Prime. Rodimus Prime.
Well, not to be the weird-looking dude in the corner, but I actually did always prefer Hot Rod Rodimus. And I have a very lengthy explanation for it that I won't fill up the podcast with, but If anyone wants to hear it, you know, PM me on tfw2005.com. Subject, what the hell, Vangelis? And you can get my canned response.
That might make a good supplemental episode.
What, me rambling?
Why
about...
I hate Optimus Prime.
It's not about hating. It's about loving flames and not hating smokestacks. I'm all
so
about
if Optimus Prime was on fire, you would like him more.
Well, maybe. Maybe. If he was voiced by Jaime.
Get some lighter fluid and we'll set that off for you.
Well, you know, speaking of lighter fluid...
This is going to be terrible.
Back in the day, kids would often, you know, set fire to their smaller toys. And we just got pictures of some smaller toys, namely animated Legends toys, which are going to be in the Universe line. Were you guys expecting that one? Because I know you weren't.
Oh.
resounding silence. Gog Dog, have you looked at the Legends pictures at all?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that they were doing them with the activators. I figured the activators were going to be the smallest ones they were going to have, but, I mean, Hasbro likes their mini-cons and their Legends and the small figures. I mean, I guess, I mean, there's no doubt that Transformers are a brand name toy line, so it can get expensive when you're, I mean, if you buy four deluxes, that's $40, so you're always going to have people that don't have as much money to spend on toys for good reason, and Hasbro said several times that I've read in like press releases and stuff that their Legends class figures sell really well, and they, I guess, keep pumping them out for that reason. People were going to pick them up.
And it's worth mentioning, like, these are going to be in Universe and not animated, so it's not going to be like they're pitting them against the activators in the same line, technically.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to be on the shelves at the same time, though, which is even weirder.
Oh, yeah.
That is, I mean,
the red packaged animated toys. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah, that I did find that kind of weird. It's you have an animated toy line out now that's only in its first couple of waves, and you're going to put out new animated figures under a different line simultaneously.
Although, you know, it's good, though. I mean, Hasbro said that in the past, the Legends line has sold very well overseas. It was actually, I think they might have gone and said it was one of their best-selling ones overseas. And I also remember as a kid just being happy with getting a character, even if it was that small, just to be able to have the character meant a lot. And I don't know if that still crosses over to today's youth, but, you know, if parents can't afford, you know, these characters, well then maybe they can afford this for this price. And to a kid, that might be the difference between never getting a Transformer and having two or three. So that's cool. I'm for it.
It might even, you know, cover their college education.
Yeah.
Choice is always a good thing. I'm never going to knock them for offering more figures, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think Drew nailed it. I mean, it is a price point that's has a wider level of accessibility for people. And like you said, yeah, when I was a kid, there were times where I just wanted a toy, like a new toy. And it would be like, well, you could get something cheap. And something cheap was better than nothing at all.
Hmm.
Kind of a deal. So personally, though, I'm not into them. I won't get any. I'm just not into that scale. But that's me, and I don't judge other people if they want to waste their money on it. But
I don't
whatever.
Judge.
I'm just a hater. No.
Yeah, you want to blow your money on it? That's your problem, not mine.
I'm trying to figure out where we can interject more hatred here, so you know, just bear with me.
I could bring it if you want. I'll turn it up.
Hey, Buzz,
11.
I like animated Legends.
Die. Go play in the freeway. What are you, crazy?
Are you talking about the G1 Throttlepot freeway?
Animated Legends are for poor children.
Poor children? That's the best insult. Dude, you like toys for poor children.
Yeah, why don't you go buy food with food stamps? and play with your animated legend.
You're a Transformers fan.
I bet you're a Transformers fan who can't eat expensive because you're poor and you buy poor toys and you suck. That, ladies and gentlemen, was a reenactment of a Flame War discussion thread for your enjoyment.
That's what I have one more.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. When you go to McDonald's, you can't afford to order off the dollar menu. There. Maybe it wasn't worth it. I don't care.
Because you spent all your money on cheap toys for poor children.
I feel like a jerk now.
Well, hey, man, how's your coffee
feels
doing?
Feels good. I spilled it.
That was a lot more depressing than I was hoping to hear. But have you considered importing Japanese Boss brand coffee?
You know what? I was looking. I looked it up. I wanted to see what Boss coffee was about. I want some. I would drink that just because the cans are amazing.
What about the exclusive Generation 1 Transformer PVCs that Takara Tomy is putting out with them?
That was an ultimate segue.
It's a nice bonus to an awesome can. Like, you got to do a Google image search and look at these cans. They're great.
Yeah, what about you guys? Drew, Gog, you thinking of importing Japanese coffee for PVCs?
No, I don't drink coffee. I'm the one guy that doesn't drink coffee.
I don't drink coffee either, man. We're brothers.
Oh!
Oh!
The bond runs deep.
What do brothers who don't drink coffee... Like, brothers who drink coffee could be brothers of the bean. But if you're not coffee drinkers, you're brothers of nothing.
Siblings of soda.
That's not poor, cool. Poor Transformers fans.
I am a poor Transformers fan, I will admit.
I'm only poor because I spend my money on expensive toys, so I think it's like a weird kind of spiraling thing where my definition is ever changing.
No, you're just young.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, The PVCs are tied to cans of coffee, because in Japan you can get canned coffee and it tastes horrible, according to my friend who was living there.
Really?
And they've got these PVCs with favorites, such as Optimus Prime, Megatron, Astro Train, Soundwave, and Bumblebee. There's also metallic versions and redecos of the Giant Planet Minicon team available if you buy a 2-can pack of Boss coffee. So,
That's kind of cool. They're offering Minicons.
You know, in Japan, they tie a lot of things to drinks, like pop over there, and any bottle drink over there. Half the time, there's like a baggie attached to the top with like a bear brick or something inside. Like, they had this whole line of movie-based bear bricks attached to Pepsi while I was over there, and it's just like, buy a bottle of Pepsi, get a bear brick that looks like an alien. Or, like, Coca-Cola in Christmas time had all these, like, really elaborate stained glass, brass-rimmed key rings. So it's a thing over there. They like to attach stuff to drinks to make them more enticing.
Yeah. Seriously, though, talking about it, I don't know if I'm really digging the mold or the sculpting of the PVC figures. So I wouldn't import Boss Coffee just to get them. But if Boss Coffee was available here, I would try it because it looks cool, and Tommy Lee Jones advertises it.
That is true, and he's on every single Boss Coffee vending machine.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Is he popular in Japan or something?
He got paid to be the Boss Coffee spokesperson for a couple years, and they got to keep using his image. And I think he still does commercials now and then for them, where he's just like, buy Boss Coffee, I'm Tommy Lee Jones, or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of like the weird thing with Hollywood. Like, if you're a big movie star, you can't do commercials in the United States or North America. It's like you just don't do it because you're a movie star. But you could go to Japan and make, like, this crazy acid trip video like Arnold Schwarzenegger did. And that's fine. That's cool. You could do that. So
it's a strange dichotomy, to use a very expensive word.
As an active Starscream collector, I'll try to pick up the Starscream. I will report back on how well the coffee tastes at a later date.
Well, I bet you the Japanese guys are going to have a horde of these things next BotCon, because the stuff attached to Japanese beverages, there's so much of it, and everyone there tends to drink, like, you know, little prepackaged beverages. So I bet you there's going to be a ton of these things kicking around the secondary market over there, which will make their way to BotCon. So keep your eyes out, ladies and gentlemen.
I can debut it on the show. I can drink it and crack it open, take a delicious gulp. Chilled or canned coffee, is that supposed to be chilled?
There's chilled and heated. The machines have a chilled section and a heated section, but apparently the heated one, at least, there's a very high tendency for it to kind of taste like metal as well. Mm. Like, it kind of tastes like the can.
Yeah, I had a friend in the Navy. He was stationed on an aircraft carrier, and there was a hot canned coffee vending machine just off the ship. So on cold days, they would run down, buy two cans, and keep them in their pockets to keep their hands warm.
Yeah, they have a hot section in almost every beverage machine that's not a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi-based one, because they got, like, vitamin drinks as well.
Did somebody just explode? What the hell?
Are vitamin drinks hilarious?
I sneezed.
Oh, jeez. Man, that's not professional at all. That's like, you know, not having a USB headset ready. I mean, what kind of chump? You know?
I don't know.
Called Vangelis would do that. talking about chump change. Oh. The TF Club Battle Rollar. The first prices have appeared. Robot Kingdom in Hong Kong wants $36.09. Big Bad Toy Store wants $55. I was predicting this thing was going to cost $80. So as far as I'm concerned, it costs chump change. What do you think, Buzz?
I'm a little disappointed in the Big Bad Toy Store price compared to the other one, but like you, I was expecting it to be a lot more, so I guess that's doable. I just think that's cool that it exists, so that's awesome.
RobotKingdom.com, are they like an Asian store, or do they sell to the U.S. market too?
They sell to the U.S. I ordered my animated leader Megatron from them. They're very nice to deal with, but their shipping is Hong Kong shipping, so it'll probably be at least $20 shipping on top of the $36.09. But Big Bad will want $55 plus shipping, so I think it might end up being a better deal from Hong Kong.
Plus Big Bad is going to get it in probably well after everybody else.
But the upside of that is, if you don't want to be an early adopter, I bet your Robot Kingdom is going to sell out first, and then Big Bad will get some once the reviews are in. And if you're not, like, totally hot on garage kits like myself, you may want to hold off anyway and see what the thing is like, and then go to Big Bad or TF Source or something like that. And
pay twice as much.
Well, at the end of the day, if you're in the States, you're probably only paying like 8 or 10, maybe 15 up, but you'd also have the advantage of knowing what you're getting.
That takes all the fun out of it.
Well, yeah, I guess. Drew.
Yo, dog.
What do you think about the Rollar?
It's cool. It probably looks like it's going to need some paint apps if you get it. It looks like it's going to be pretty much there, but no, it's cool looking. I don't know. It might be one of those, oh, yeah, I'll get it at Botcon kind of deals. I'm not going to import it or anything. Unless I suddenly come across some awesome income. But, it's cool. And I think it's definitely something that people are going to be like, yo, check out what I just got. But for myself, not so much.
Check it out. I admit, in the case of Rollar, and more so in the case of City Commander, I'm very much going to be like, because I pre-ordered the thing, I'm going to be like, hey, guys, check out my photo gallery, or something like that. I don't know. Except I'll never get a photo gallery done until, like, next year.
You gotta do a video review.
Oh, man, I already have a plan for that thing. It's going to involve lots of shouting. I don't want to spoil the rest. It's lots of shouting.
to the fans of our YouTube fight, Vangelis, I don't want to know the rest, because I don't care.
Oh, well, you know what, Ido11? I think I'm going to set up that video so you and only you cannot watch it.
Oh.
Oh. I don't even know if I can do that.
Man,
but if I can.
Like getting thrown down.
That's right.
Speaking of evangelist shouting, I have a friend named Ryan who will absolutely adore that. He will adore you shouting, Evangelist, and I'm being extremely sarcastic.
Oh, I'm so happy he will enjoy me shouting! On the topic of shouting, I can't even do this. we're talking about Battle Rollar, and he's kind of classics, so we're going to move along to a couple classics, Universe Classics toys that have been recently reviewed by Mr. Sean Long and Mr. Pogue. Those would be Classics Ironhide and Classics Sideswipe. Have you guys seen any of the galleries or videos on those?
Yeah, I saw the Pogue reviews of both of them. I'll tell you what, I like the look of Sideswipe, and I don't know about Ironhide, but Sideswipe looks pretty slick.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting both, regardless, just because I really like this whole new styling, kind of new but old looking at the same time, like I said in episode 3.
Refer to episode 3.
Yeah, I'll be getting them both definitely as well. I'm a huge fan of the Sunstreaker mold. I think it's probably one of my favorite classic figures released so far. I'm looking forward to the Sideswipe. I like the Ironhide. I look forward to Buzzbeak putting up headless Ironhide versus new Ironhide. And them funny
am
robots.
I? Oh.
We're shilling
you
your funnies.
Keep looking.
But yeah, I think they both look fantastic. I'm looking forward. Some of the panel lines on Ironhide vehicle mode look pretty different. They're not like perpendicular, up, down, straight lines. They're going like all crazy angles.
Yeah, that's what I saw at TFCon. Because now it makes even more sense, probably, if any of you guys out there listening have seen the galleries or video reviews of these toys. At TFCon, Hasbro Canada was letting people mess with them, and Ironhide was there. And, you know, people would be like, oh, I'll just transform it once. And then you see that transformation. You imagine a very excited Transformers fan trying to do it really quickly on the spot. And you get, like, people taking 20 minutes with a crowd behind them. And, yeah, it's a pretty cool-looking toy. I mean, Sideswipe I'm going to get because, again, I agree with Gog Dog. Sunstreaker was my favorite Universe toy so far out of the new Universe line. So Sideswipe's a real big given for me. And Ironhide, I kind of like
him. Brothers.
We're like brothers, Gog Dog.
No, I mean Sideswipe and Sunstreaker are brothers.
I thought you meant
I was like, wow, did I miss something?
I thought you apparently meant like me and Drew are non-coffee brothers. Me and Gog Dog are Sideswipe loving brothers.
No.
I just want to be family with everyone, guys. Yeah, Ironhide is neat looking. I can totally see why a lot of people are a little put off by him, but he's also...
I don't.
No, I see it in that some people are like, you know, oh, there's too much stuff. He's got a big backpack, and they're all kind of used to this thing we've been a little spoiled on with animated, with most of the toys having, like, no backpack whatsoever. But at the same time, Ironhide also kind of... helps me with my little point that I feel like the old Classics line was really kind of Cybertron-y. Like, it kind of resembled the Cybertron line. The new Classics kind of resemble the movie toys. And it's very, very, like, vague. But it's kind of like you can see more of the movie aesthetic in them as opposed to the Cybertron aesthetic.
Yeah, I guess there's a little bit of that, but I always just sort of took them more as a modern version of the G1 figures.
Well, what do you think, Mr. Airplane?
I live next to an airport. What can I say?
I see what you guys mean. And you know what? I mean, I like Ironhide, but, you know, listeners, don't feel obliged to agree with us. We will happily receive differing opinions, and then we'll all, like, gang up on you.
I kind of prefer everyone just agree with me, because I'm right.
Well,
there's whatever.
That, too. Well, this isn't about classics, but this is about collecting. The Transformers Collector Club has put up some wallpapers, and they got themselves a DeviantArt account to put up exactly one picture, which is the Dawn of Futures Past Megatron, like the pre T-Rex Beast Wars Megatron in his giant exosuit that happens to look exactly like the dude from Cybertron, whose name I forgot, Red Alert, Cybertron Defense Red Alert, or whatever. So, have you guys checked out those images?
I'll have you know that there is more than one picture on that DeviantArt account. And there's like four or five, and I worked on one of them. So,
well, tell Pete to bring them up. Yeah, because he was like, we got this up on our DeviantArt, and I was like, is there anything else? And I, you know.
They're on that. No, they're on there now. When's the last time you've been on it?
like to look at the Megatron thing. When you put
it up. I was this went up for like a while. Anyway, any
cool. I didn't go exploring though, I admit, because I need to be spoon fed.
I feel like that it's a cool picture, I gotta admit. It reminds me of the page in the comic where he comes out of that suit for the first time. Yeah, it was. I have fond memories of that comic.
Well, didn't you? You worked on a bunch of it, right?
Like, I did.
Was it divided up?
The first half I did the flats, and then the second half, or the first half I did all the colors and the flats, and then the second half I just did the flats mostly for it, and then Josh went in and did the rest. I can't think of his name. Josh Perez, yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, by the way, this was the comic from BotCon 2006 with
Dawn of Futures Past.
That's right. Takes place before the first episode of Beast Wars, and our very own Drew Iden did some coloring on that, as you just heard.
My first foray into the world of comic book coloring. But, I was pumped to see something else come out of that continuity, I guess. I haven't seen anything really of it since the end of BotCon, really. So I was kind of pumped. I was like, oh, that's fun.
Well, I'm glad that he put up the link, because I didn't know they had a DeviantArt account at all.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah. So it's cool that they're releasing some more art. It's more stuff that the club can put out that's not, like, things you have to spend money on, which I like. Same as with all the fiction they're putting out. What about you guys? Buzz, what do you think?
Well, I didn't read that comic. I didn't go to that BotCon. So, were you saying that he first appears in the exoskeleton and then he pops out?
Yeah, he appears in the Cybertron Defense Red Alert body that was the figure, and then towards the end of the book, spoiler alert, 2 years, almost 3 years later, he comes out of the suit so as to look like his form that you see in the very first couple seconds of Beast Wars, the pilot episode. Which is really cool.
So he starts off bigger, and then he's like, "Guess what? I'm actually a little guy."
That's basically it. Just because I assume it's because there wasn't a more similar looking Megatron figure or a base figure for Megatron to look like he did on it. I mean, I don't know for sure though. I don't know. I was coloring that book and then was finding out like what the exclusives were as they were revealed.
They're the smaller Maximal Predacon guys who are more Energon efficient, but then to go and like steal the golden disc, he got himself like an exosuit with a giant missile on the shoulder, and that way it also kind of covered his identity a little bit, even though his face was showing.
I thought it was a cool idea. I enjoyed it.
I think it's clever. I think it's more than just saying, oh, look, he looks just like another character from another line and just happens to have the same body in the future in an alternate reality. So it's pretty cool that they said, no, it's just like an exoskeleton. He pops out, and then it links it to the cartoon, and it's clever.
It was easily one of my favorite, really creative decisions in the BotCon fictions. It was, like, something that you totally weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like it when people do that because the people who decide what figures are going to get made and what molds are going to get repainted into other figures are not the people who, you know. The same thing with the Beast Wars cartoon itself. I mean, when you looked at the original packaging for Optimus Primal and Megatron, I think the original stories behind them were they were actually, you know, it was actually the original G1 Optimus Prime and Megatron. And, you know, the people who wrote the fiction kind of took that in their own different direction, and a lot of the weird decisions that were made with the toys, they put really creative spins on that and made it seem plausible. And this is, I think, another thing where someone said, okay, here's a toy. How can we link this into the Beast Wars universe with it being somewhat plausible, believable, and entertaining? And they did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a cool explanation for why they repainted the figure. I just thought, like, because I didn't read it, and I'm just kind of now hearing about it, I guess. It just seems kind of funny that here's Megatron, he's big, got a big missile on his shoulder, he's all imposing, and then at the end he like jumps out and he's like this little guy in comparison. <It's> like, I was hiding in a suit.
Yeah, and like also that, just to go off track for a sec, even though I know we never do this, the Beast Wars set remains one of my favorites because it was like not only a really good set, but nothing about it was really blatant. Like, it wasn't a bunch of toys you were expecting aside from Dinobot. Because, you know, all love and respect to the controversial 2007 set with the classic Seekers. Oh, tree outside caught fire. That set was also kind of, like, once you saw one of the toys, you were kind of like, okay, I know what, like, the other toys are going to be now. And then there, I don't know, it was a cool set, but it was also, like, so predictable that it wasn't quite as exciting for me as the Beast Wars set. But I'm not selling mine. Sorry.
I'll take it by force.
Bring it, boy! I'll have a flame war with you, IRL!
Down with the Canadians!
You know, on the topic of something that you can buy, Transformers Animated Season 1 came out this week on DVD. That is, Season 1 minus the pilot, which came out earlier, and you have to buy separately, unless you go to Best Buy, I believe, who have a box... Or at least a shrink-wrapped set of the two. Have you guys picked it up yet, or have you been eyeing it?
Yeah, I'm going to get it, totally. I missed most of the episodes when they ran on TV, just because I can't be bothered to watch things when they're on TV anymore, it seems.
Someone has a cold.
One, but I can't be bothered to set it up to record anything either. But I'm going to get it. Just haven't gotten it yet, but it's going to happen. Going to make it happen on the to-do list.
Yeah, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. I like anime. I love everything about it. I'm just probably not going to be able to get it right at this moment. Maybe in the future, but there are other box sets on my radar, like non-Transformer properties.
We don't talk about those here. Never.
Yeah, I will probably get it. I like animated. It has its ups and it has its downs. Its high moments are very high. Its low moments are very low. But its high moments are high enough to where the good episodes I would love to watch again.
I am definitely going to get it. But the thing is, I'm trying to figure out where in Canada I can get the set with the pilot attached, because I never bought that because I was holding out for someone to bundle it up and save me another like $2. But now I have to figure out who in Canada is doing that, because I heard Best Buy is the place that's doing it. And to go to Best Buy, I actually have to get on a ferry. So, there you go.
Did you said Best Buy in the U.S. was doing that, too?
Well, I think I read Best Buy was doing it. But, I apologize, listeners, if my facts are a little off. If you guys want to correct anything I said that's wrong, come on down to our forum. Go to the episode thread and say, hey, Vangelis, you... We're wrong. But I think it's either Walmart or Best Buy that's doing the bundle. I know. Well, those are the two places that always do that kind of thing. So I'll have to take a look around there. But I definitely want to get it because I'm in Canada and I have to put up with AJ being on the end of every episode. And you know what? I love YTV and the program jockeys are a huge part of my childhood. But AJ is no PJ Phil. All the Canadians out there know what I'm talking about. That's right, PJ Phil and Snit. They were golden. And they have not been replaced yet, so I really want to get some clean episodes without stuff on the end. So that's the DVD that's out now. Do you guys think Season 2 will be out fairly soon?
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, if they're putting them out kind of bare bones releases, just the episodes, I don't see why not. Why it can't be out a little sooner than later. When did these episodes start airing? Last year?
December?
It was the pilot. No, the pilot started just a couple days after Christmas, and the first episode after the three-part pilot aired the first week of December or January this year.
And then when did season two start?
Hey, Gog, when does season two start? Well, I don't know, but season one started right here. I got nothing.
Amazing.
Hey, Vangelis, where were you when you watched the pilot? Well, I actually downloaded it, put it on a personal video player, and watched it as I took a train to Osaka.
Wow.
That's my animated story. I watched it on the train heading to spend money at Denden Town in Japan, and that was like the most wicked thing ever because the train ride was really boring, and I had new Transformers, and all these people kept glancing over my shoulder. And you know, Japan really likes comic books. And we've got comic books, too. And this week, All Hail Megatron and Spotlight Double Dealer came out. We don't have to talk about the books themselves if you haven't read them yet, but what do you guys think of All Hail Megatron on the whole, starting off with Mr. Gogdog?
I think the second issue just came out, right?
Yeah.
I read the first issue. It's cool. It's violent. I mean, that's something that I think Transformers has always kind of leaned away from just because of the market. But, it's based on the 80s, so, you know, the G1 characters, most of the fans are old. They can afford to do that now. Some people had some complaints that there wasn't a lot of meat. It was mostly just Decepticons come in, just kill a bunch of people and to be continued. So, I'm interested in seeing where it goes. I think they're trying to squeeze this, IDW is trying to squeeze this into the rest of the IDW-verse, and they're kind of saying that this takes place like a year in the future. So I am kind of interested in seeing how they're going to link this with the ongoing stuff, if they're just going to continue the timeline and link it in the future, or what they're going to do to actually make it canon, or if they're just going to kind of ignore it, or what's going to happen. But we'll see.
I thought it was part of it was the regular series.
It is, but it takes the latest issue, or the, like, well, you have, what is it, Revelations is going on now, and which is the Spotlights, and this takes place like a year, All Hail Megatron takes place like a year in the future from what's going on concurrently. Or currently. So it's supposed to take place in the IDW-verse, but it's like a year in the future as of what's going on in Revelations.
Hmm. So you think they'll be like, oh, that isn't really what happened.
I don't think they will. I'm just curious to see how they're going to link it. If they're going to actually make an effort to add that in when they reach that point with the current issues, or if they're just going to kind of say, yeah, it happened.
Yeah, I've it has really nice art. The art in All Hail Megatron really wins me over, and it has some cool moments, but I'm not totally behind the 1 year later thing. I wasn't really, like, I gave it a chance when DC did it, and they had, like, 52 and 1 year later, but I kind of find that the 1 year later thing unless it's done extremely well, and I think it can be a really good storytelling element, it can come off more so as just really disjointed from what you've been reading so far. So I'm not gonna bash it until it's run its course because it's a mini and it has places to go and it can't tell me everything at once. But I did feel a little knocked off course, mostly because I've been keeping up with all the other stuff. But that said, there is stuff still going on through the spotlights.
And I agree with you. And I actually think that the series would work a lot better if it was just a standalone out-of-continuity thing. Because they could do anything they wanted. And they could kill people off. They could just make the Decepticons just total bad A with no consequence. But because it's in the IDW universe, there's only so much consequence that can happen because of it. Unless they really just throw everybody for a loop. And you know, that, and the other thing that kind of bothers me, too, is, you know, they have the IDW-verse has updated designs for the G1 characters, Starscream included. He's a F-22 Raptor. He has a totally, you know, different, robot form. Not totally different, but much different robot form and transformation in the IDW-verse than he was in the G1. He's a completely different jet. And I like the fact that, you know, EJ Su, you know, made these updated versions of the old characters, but now you have, with the 1 year later, now you have Starscream and the other Seekers now back to F-15s.
And they're the Masterpiece toys, pretty much.
They're the Masterpiece, which that's good. It's good to see the Masterpiece get some, you know, official, playtime or whatever. But isn't it kind of weird that, I mean, maybe they'll explain it. Like you said, it still has a long ways to go. Mm-hmm. It's not over yet.
Well, there was something like I'm giving it that chance, but I have to knock a few marks off only because there is a Q&A thread on IDW's forums, and the fellow writing it, whose name escapes me at the moment because I totally do my research, he pretty much said, because someone said, well, is this going to touch on, you know, a bunch of these hanging plot points from the last story arc? And he said, no, it's not. Someone else will be touching on those. So that does kind of worry me in terms of, like, because when I went into this, All Hail Megatron struck, it sounded to me like it was going to be a what-if of what-if Megatron won the war instead of Prime.
Right,
I think that would have actually been better because it sounds to me like this, like the guy writing it has an idea of what he wants to do, and it sounds almost like he's having to shunt his idea into the IDW-verse. It sounds like he had the same feeling I had, which was that it was going to be a what-if. So, I mean, I'll still give it a chance. The art is beautiful alone, so the art already wins me over. And, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Drew, you do art. What do you think?
Oh, it's Guido. It's Guido, right?
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's the man. So, yeah, no, I like his work. But in terms of the whole IDW verse, I recently went in and just got back into it, kind of reread Infiltration and stuff, and it really is pretty awesome. The whole their spectrum, I guess you could say. So I've been digging it so far. I read Spotlight Hardhead. I thought it was pretty cool, so I'm looking forward to Spotlight Double Dealer, but didn't get to read it yet.
I've got them in my backpack next to me, but I haven't read them yet either. So, listeners, I apologize that we can't discuss the comic that came out yesterday, but, you can head by the forums and ask us after you've listened to this, and maybe we'll have read it by then. So,
if you really want our opinion.
Yeah, if you're hinging your entire fandom on what we, the podcasters from TFW, say, then, we're open to share with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
anyway, something I'd like to share is a little commercial, because this is where we're going to do a little bit of an intermission, so sit back, and we'll talk to you after this runs.
You ever feel like people don't believe how hardcore you really are? You ever wish you could assert your respect for Transformers to the most absolute degree? Then come on by the True Fans, True Tattoo Parlor of True Fandom.
Oh my god.
We use special ink made from toxic waste residue that came from the very discarded paints used to color the cells of the original G1 cartoon. It's ultimate old school. Be hardcore, just like Tyrese Gibson. Get a True Fan True Tattoo today.
This product may cause epidermal irradiation. So, yeah, man, I'm totally going to get one of those tats, because I'm a hardcore. I'm the one true fan, as some have called me. So, I've got to get that, tattooed on my chest.
I actually have TFW 2005 on my hand. It's awesome. On my arms. On my arms, like Tyrese. Like, down the side like that. It was sick.
It was sick?
It was sick.
You know what else was sick? Or at least what I'm guessing was sick? At least one of us must have gotten a sick haul this week. Sick haul? Because it's a good haul.
Oh, where's your haul?
So, what did you guys, if you got anything this week, what did you guys get? What did you spend your money on?
Busby, didn't you get something crazy?
Just before recording this podcast, I returned home from the store with Universe Galvatron.
Ooh.
And I spent an awful lot of time reassembling them. Because every twist and turn, pieces went flying. I could not keep the turret on, his left arm's popping off, the lower half of his left leg is falling off. The little piece of turret that goes around and becomes his backpack. Not only did that pop off, but the little clear orange piece, the little hinge piece, that was popping off. I want to love it because he looks so Galvatron, like the torso. I think the head sculpt is amazing. It looks like this sci-fi version of a samurai helmet. It's great. But the thing falls apart like crazy.
You got a leper toy.
yeah, maybe I got a crap one. Maybe other people will have better luck.
I've been reading, but it's really split down the middle. Like,
holy crap.
No, Buzzbeak, you just don't even know your own strength. Admit it.
I know. Well,
I mean,
I'm a burly man.
Didn't you have
the, what can I say?
Didn't you have the same problem with Masterpiece Prime? Every time you would transform him, his limbs would fly across the room.
Yeah, but I was also transforming him with a hammer and a pair of pliers. I don't know. Maybe that's my problem.
Well, I'm way into that Galvatron toy, but I've seen it's pretty much a coin toss on whether or not you're going to get parts that just fall off. So I'm going to be buying him along with a special limited edition Galvatron super glue to use on all the joints.
Yeah, I don't see myself ever transferring him back to tank mode because I can't handle the frustration. It's too much. It's too much for me.
That is Buzzbeak's weakness, ladies and gentlemen. You want to... It's like his kryptonite. You got to get him to try to transform the new Galvatron. Of course, you'd probably need something threatening to get him to do in the first place. So really, it wouldn't do anything, but, you know, it's out there for the Lex Luthors of the world. Drew, Gog, Dog, did either of you get anything?
I finally gave in and bought a leader, animated leader Megatron. I was going to try to avoid the leader figures because they cost a lot of shelf space.
That's not what I was expecting you to say.
At this point, shelf space is more valuable than, or floor space, or closet space, or desk space is more valuable than money right now. But everyone just had such good things to say about him over and over and over and over and over again that I finally said, if I don't pick him up now, I'm probably going to regret it. And I'm glad I did. I like him. Somebody on TFW in the feedback thread towards the end posted kind of a solution, because when he's in robot mode, he kind of looks like he has knocky knees, like he's holding a piss. But if you slightly unlock the shin parts and spread them out a little bit, it makes all the difference in the world. And I'm very glad I got him. I like him. He looks amazing. The swords just put him over the top. And... it has a G1 transformation sound. It's pretty good.
So now we got to show you the Ultra Magnus so you can break that leader embargo again. And then we got to try to say, well, you got two of them, so you may as well get the third one. And then...
I'm not going to get Bulkhead, but I'll probably... the more I see Ultra Magnus, I'll have to wait and make a final opinion, but I may end up grabbing him too.
Well, Drew, did you get anything?
I haven't gotten anything lately.
Oh, my God. Well, I haven't got any new Transformers, but I got those Hot Toys 1-6 scale Dark Knight figures on a really stupid bout of splurging, and they're really pretty. But they're also, like, because they cost so much, you kind of sit there tapping at them with your fingertips, going like, I wonder if I can move the arm up like this. And you do it, and you're like, oh, man. This was $150! Oh, yeah. But they're very pretty. But, you know, Hot Toys, they do really nice stuff, but it's also very pricey stuff. You get what you pay for. But on the average, I think most Transformers fans are used to paying the prices that you pay for something that's mass market. So this is more of a thing for if you're a wacko who feels like buying a total... complete and utter adult-aimed collector toy that's not dirty. Speaking of an arms race, Blazing Lockdown. The Asian communities on the internet have posted some pictures of him out of the package, and that guy has some new armaments. He has a chainsaw. So that's a lot more than what we saw last week, which is just him in the package. Have you guys checked out the galleries of the actual figure?
Yep, and I've decided that fate has spoken when it told me not to buy the original Lockdown. This is why. That chainsaw looks awesome. I'm gonna get it, and I am going to have him hack everything into a mechanical gore in my room, and he's gonna giggle.
Wow. And you're gonna put it on YouTube, right?
I mate.
Because, you know, hey, it's easy. YouTube in joke.
I get it.
I don't get it.
I'll explain the joke now. It's just a video response I got because I sucked at using a toy in one of my reviews, and Gog Dog doesn't suck at using that toy, and he showed me how I suck.
I thought it was like YouTube's new slogan, like YouTube. Hey, it's easy.
No, just watch Vangelis review number 20. Watch it in detail, and then watch the review or the video responses.
That's right. You have two video responses to it now, don't you?
Yes, one is lighthearted, and the other is the drop
information.
The drop kick to your soul.
That's right. I wept tears
off the
blood.
Top rope.
Buzz, have you seen Blazing Lockdown?
Yes. I will probably get that one because I've been kind of holding out on getting Lockdown in the first place. And I think the chainsaw is the thing that's going to get me off the fence. Because chainsaws are plus one awesome.
Ba-boom.
Well, Drew, do you think chainsaws are plus one awesome, or are you going to shun the whole chainsaw bandwagon?
Wow. I will wait for it.
I knew it.
Maybe. Maybe I'll get it. I don't know. When this podcast, when we're recording this podcast and I have a job, it's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to get that. No problem. Yeah, I got that. No
I'm
going to
get three.
Yeah. So we'll wait till that comes around. And then I'll be like, yeah, I'm buying that. So.
Well, I got the original, and I'm still thinking I might pick this one up just because I want to have him dual wielding the hook and the chainsaw. But also because it means I'd get another Lance Henriksen. And if there's one thing that I love, it's having tiny Lance Henriksens on my desk.
It's true. I think Lance Henriksen actually has more shout-outs on this than TFW2005.com does at this point.
Can anyone guess who I want our first celebrity guest to be?
Phil Lamar.
Ah! Okay, there's a segue right there. We're going to throw the damn schedule out the window so I can get this one off my chest, because that is the segue. Bumper Battler Jazz, ladies and gentlemen. Video's up. Sound clips play. I'm sitting there, waiting in anticipation. And it's not Phil Lamar!
I am boycotting
Bumper Battler Jazz. I will not be buying that particular children entertainment action figure piece.
And, I will stand with you in solidarity.
And it also kind of puts a downer on the hope of Lance Henriksen voicing the Bumper Battler Lockdown people have been talking about. So, and that was my dream. A little car that pops up and goes like, "I'm Lance Henriksen." You know, I was looking forward to that. So maybe Phil Lamar just wasn't up for a toy, and maybe Lance Henriksen is. But there you go. That was a bit of nerd rage for you all, ladies and gentlemen. That was my injection of haterade for this episode, to steal Buzzbeak's term that I loved ever so much.
And I know, when you said it in the last episode, I was like, amazing. Yeah, I infected him with it.
I love saying it. you
should get them as a sponsor.
Haterade? Call Gatorade. Hey, man, so we're bastardizing your name to suit the idea of angry nerds. Will you sponsor us, please? On the subject of something that may be receiving a lot of haterade, I haven't looked yet. Transformers Universe, Galaxy Force Prime and Crumple Zone Twin Pack. It's two toys that have nothing to do with each other, taken right out of Cybertron, put into a universe box and sold as universe. What do you guys think?
I think it's the same thing you were talking about with the Unicron. They probably had a lot of overstock from... Because I don't recall the Galaxy Force Prime, which, for everybody who doesn't know, the previous Transformers toy line, previous to animated, which was that was based on a television show, Transformers Cybertron, had a leader class Optimus Prime, and then they repainted it towards the end of the line, kind of a black. The black replaced the blue and called it Galaxy Force Optimus Prime. And I don't recall him selling all that well, so I'm pretty sure this is their second attempt to get rid of that. Crumple Zone I have no explanation for.
I don't either.
Well, that theory sounds pretty good to me. I mean, I wasn't interested in getting Galaxy Force Prime either, so... And I'm still not...
If you guys want to make up some fiction for it, maybe it's like Ransack, like, grew up... So we can pretend Galaxy Force Prime is actually Ransack, then it's like a Ransack Crumple Zone Twin Pack, and that's totally in character for the show. So I know that's what I'll be calling them. I'm not going to buy them though because I already own Crumple Zone twice, thanks to the remold. It was kind of odd. I mean, the Unicron one made more sense to me than this one. And I'm not going to say this is the case, but Universe is supposed to be like. eventually next year it's going to be celebrating like every line. And I'm hoping this isn't like they were like, what can we do to celebrate Cybertron? We will take the overstock
from last year
and double box them.
Yeah, I highly doubt that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I don't think it will be either. But that was my first little knee jerk. I was like, oh crap, there we go. I cover Cybertron. But yeah, Galaxy Force Prime and Crumple Zone. If you somehow want those two particular figures, they will be out in a twin pack. On the bright side, they are two very nice figures, and I'm sure the kids will love them if they hadn't gotten them the first time around. And you know what? I think it's time we move on to the movie stuff.
All right.
So,
what?
Remember, everyone, if you don't want movie spoilers, you may not want to listen to the next bit. There will be a disclaimer, because that's what we disclaim. And, it's time for the A Spoiler A Section!
This is the spoiler section. If your future viewing experience of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen will be decimated by spoilers, turn back now. There is no hope. This is the spoiler section.
And we're in the spoiler section.
Whoa!
I like to think, I like to imagine that while that spoiler warning is playing, there's people like smacking the earbuds out of their ears. like they're going, oh my god, no! They're knocking them out.
This will decimate my viewing experience!
I like to imagine the spoiler bumper. People are just waiting in anticipation to see if Drew is just going to leave at the last minute.
Yeah, Drew wasn't with us the last time he was on the show. He had a superhero
responsibility to deal with. I actually didn't want to hear the spoilers for that week, so.
Oh, jeez. You see, it's not bad to be trying to keep yourself spoilerless. There are even people here who do it. So we won't talk about the last couple weeks' spoilers, but we have a couple spoiler topics, which these aren't really all that spoilery, but I've found a lot of people consider things to be spoilers that I don't, so this is for, you know, their respect. The first one is pretty big news all around. Peter Cullen is already recording dialogue for Transformers 2.
Yay!
Cool picture of him actually on the front page news section holding a Prime helmet looking all epic, and he said that they did some of the opening dialogue, the opening speech, and a couple scenes with Shia LaBeouf. So this pretty much confirms Cullen's in the movie as though there was any need for confirmation. But what do you guys think?
Prediction? It sounds like TF Revenge of the Fallen is going to open similarly to the first movie with Optimus
yes.
Prime giving a monologue.
Testifying.
There was the war, and then there was a movie, and this is the second movie. And life was good.
Fallen.
Life was good, but it was about to get worse.
Cut to...
Meanwhile, at college, Sam was learning about the birds and the bees.
That's exactly the way it's going to open. Prime is going to talk about their piece, but it was going to be short-lived, and it's going to cut to Sam in college.
Oh my god, Gog Dog has the script to start a rumor.
I have the storyboards.
Or that I hope the line is like, and we had peace. But at what cost?
And Sam in college.
Michaela says, I'm pregnant.
Oh, price of peace.
I don't want peace.
Drew, what do you think about Peter Cullen recording dialogue? Are you impressed? Are you sad?
I'm sad. Couldn't get
him
anywhere.
Gonna get rid of that guy.
No,
he's
yeah.
Hanging around at BotCons. It's awkward,
Making lineups appear wherever he's sitting down to sign pieces of paper. What the hell? Blocking my way to the dealer room.
Take a hint, man. Come on.
No, it's fine. Get him in there. Get him in there now, and then let's get that movie out.
Drew Iden approves of Peter Cullen recording dialogue as Optimus Prime. Michael Bay, you have the go-ahead. I think we all approve.
I'd like to see Peter Cullen make an appearance.
Yeah.
Be like Sam's teacher, you know, with, I know, what's his name? Rainn Wilson got cast, but like, that would have been funny if Peter Cullen was his teacher. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, if Stan Lee could be in every Marvel movie.
And, like, other TV series as well.
Yeah, how come Floro Derry isn't in every Transformers movie? Jeez.
Floro Derry. Dude would show up and be like, this movie sucks. I'm a better artist. No disrespect meant to Floro Derry. I think you're a very cute person. And would love to see you show up in the movie.
Good.
And this is where Floro Derry, like, sends us a cease and desist, and we have to edit him out of the podcast.
I think he's just going to jump you one day. You're going to be walking down the street and bam!
Get a bat to the side of my knee, and he's like, do you know who I am? I'm Floro Bleepin' Derry!
He's going to jump in his car and pee.
Gog Doug, have you got an opinion on Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime, or Floro Derry, future murderer evangelist?
Isn't this the second time you've called on me?
Is it?
Next one!
You know what happened? Floro Derry caused this. I'm blaming him for everything. I got sidetracked fearing for my life, thinking that a guy who did the animation models for an 80s cartoon is going to kill me. I'm nervous.
You got O'Derried.
I'm going to get derried.
just take my audio track and just play it again.
Put a repeat on. He's like, you dare defy Floro Derry. Again, I really don't dislike him. I find this whole image in my head incredibly amusing, and it's a fun little sidetrack. Apologies to people who are hoping we'd continue discussing Optimus Prime there, but the threat of Floro Derry with a baseball bat in an alleyway was an intriguing topic.
And now we all know how to get completely off topic for a good 5 minutes.
Evangelist Floro Derry. What do you guys think Floro Derry, like, if he was given the choice, which donut place would he go to?
He'd go to Timmy Hortons, I think. I think he'd be the Timmy Hortons guy. That's what my gut tells me.
Mom and pop all the way.
I guess he is a grassroots kind of guy, you know?
I think he makes his own.
He calls them dairy nuts.
He sure does.
You want a Floro Derry original? Moving along... there's been some more footage taken, video and image, of the filming process. Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox have been filming. Shia has been filming, not on camera, though. I believe he's just been there for eyeline and off-screen dialogue. And the ice cream truck has returned.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out what exactly is going on with the ice cream truck.
It's Megatron.
I heard I'm voicing the ice cream truck. I haven't confirmed that, though. But I heard that's what I'm doing.
Did you hear that before or after they shut you down at the trials?
They were like, you can't be an extra, but you got a voice for an ice cream truck. And at the time, I was like, that's kind of weird. But now I get it. So.
You know, I had a theory about the ice cream truck pop up in my head because... Everyone involved with the movie and the toys have been getting all these people going like, where's the transforming dispensor? So what if the ice cream truck is like dispensor having been tamed and like put into a more mundane form?
No.
Because he dispenses the ice cream. That's the joke that I was thinking of. See?
If that's it, wow. I mean, I'll give him credit.
He's an ice cream dispensor.
Well, that's WTF at TMW, folks.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. No, what do you
and
do you
he's
think?
Like on nobody's side. He's just roaming around.
The mysterious vigilante ice cream truck.
I think it's Rengar.
That'd be cool.
Maybe it's a disguise for Optimus Prime, even. You know, it could be like a mighty heroic ice cream truck.
Mm-hmm. No, but okay.
No.
I think the opening scene of the movie is... The opening scene of the movie is them crushing a random GoBot.
Running it over with an ice cream truck.
That's like leader one.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Soundwave. Because ice cream trucks play that music when they drive down the street. And not the sound. So maybe it's Soundwave.
That's Soundwave's incredible disguise.
And his minions are creamsicles. Transforming creamsicles and rocket pops.
Yeah, light movie news this week. Floro Derry. I think that's pretty much it for this week. Unless, have any of you guys got anything you want to add aside from, of course, please review us on iTunes.
Yeah, and the Zune link, for those of you who use Zune, is up too, in case In case you know a friend who wants to listen but can't, they have Zoom, we got that up and ready. Thanks to fellow board members.
I'd like to say we have Transformer Star Wars. We have Transformer Marvel. The time is ripe for Transformer GoBots.
Leader One transforms into a jet that looks like Leader One.
No, it's a Leader One that transforms into a robot that looks like Leader One.
I'm still looking forward to the flesh jeep.
Yeah. The Weapon X jeep.
Skin jeep.
The skin jeep. I guess that's a great place to say. I have one last message, and I have our very first piece of listener email, even though it was sent via PM. But I really wanted to share this one. Because this week, I don't have to come up with what WTF stands for. Because Action Master Zod at the TFW 2005 boards came up with a definition of his own. Whining toy fans. Wait a second. Did he just call me whining? So I guess that's it for this week. That was Drew Iden, Gog Dog, and Buzzbeak. I was Vangelis. None of
R.I.P. Leroy Moore.
That's right.
Go on.
None of us were Floro Derry. And
I'll talk to you next week.
So long for now.
Bye. Stops.
Next time on WTF at TFW 2005, Floro Derry returns to wreak havoc on Team Even Steven. Will he succeed in beating Vangelis with a bat in an alleyway? Or will he be repelled by the combined might of Vangelis and Aaron's completionism, Lupus Convoy's intent to purchase Pink A Wild Rider, and the 30-second reviews of Omega's Prime? Find out next week when someone will say, on the topic of...
Add all that up, I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.